Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. I am your host, Edna White, and this is the place where we talk to real people with real stories about real things to motivate and inspire us in our daily lives, all on purpose. Today on Authors Insight segment, we have none other than an amazing author, Dr. Brad Montage, and he's going to talk to us about exposing Lyme and chronic illness. Welcome to the show, Dr. Brad.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to this dialogue. I think this will be fun.
Oh, you're so welcome. So how do you show up in the world?
Depends on which hat, but because I have so many of them. Mm-hmm. If we keep it related to the book, I started having chronic illness problems when I was a very young child, and I had them a large part of my life. I've had chronic candida issues, fungal issues, mm-hmm. vertigo so bad I couldn't hardly stand up. I've had Lyme disease. I've never got any answers from any of the clinicians that I've seen, and I've seen
right.
a multitude of different professional backgrounds. A good friend of mine is one of the top functional medicine docs in his part of the country. No one could ever give me answers. I had tools that had to be developed, and I had to figure out all my own answers. And I really believe that is where virtually everybody with chronic health issues is. There's this huge frustration of this question of what's going on inside of me. Why can't anybody tell me what's causing this? What's the progression? How do I stop it? How do I regain my health? What's going on? How do I restore my life?
Yeah.
And that's the inspiration for that book, because it's, you read it. I think you had your staff read it. It's put together differently than almost any book on health that I've never seen anything like it, because it talks about the mechanics, the nuts and bolts on how all of these things start to happen inside of a body. And it's from there that you can understand how they need to be addressed, because rarely are they.
Yeah. And I think when I was going through the book, I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much that really needs to, you know, to be revealed, because you take on inside of the book, you expose a lot of things, and then you share how it starts. You know, how do you develop it? How do they even say that you have it? And they kind of link it to different, you know, symptoms. And it's jam-packed. I'm telling you guys, it's really jam-packed. And I don't want to say secrets, but I want to say, we can say secrets. That the things I didn't know, like it was like very, it was so enlightening. I was like, wow, you know, wow. I want to talk about Lyme disease, because I know in our community, my community, you know, when there's an issue with Lyme, right? And you can take this apart and, you know, talk about it. But when there's issues with Lyme disease, or when they don't know, and it's, I've seen this a lot, when they don't know what something is and they can't figure out where it comes from, then all of a sudden they attach all these symptoms to, you know, okay, it must be this. And then they come up with Lyme disease, never being bitten by a tick or anything, or, you know, could say. But talk about, you know, Lyme disease and how it starts and how it affects us, the just having the diagnosis.
Okay. I'll stay with this. Most people don't understand what a diagnosis is. Mm-hmm. But a diagnosis is just an insurance code to authorize a doctor to bill insurance.
Yeah.
And whenever you have a diagnosis, you're locked into the insurance's accepted means to address it, which is almost never effective.
That's very good.
So I'll start with that. Most people, there's so many lies about Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's transferred there's a multitude of ways to transfer. Ticks do not have to be involved. It's a fluid transfer disease. It's very, very similar to syphilis. And it looks like the government actually hot rotted syphilis and created Lyme disease. The bacteria that causes Lyme disease, it looks like a corkscrew. It's called a spirochete. That's what syphilis was. Syphilis was the most impossible disease to deal with of all time. Lyme is that hot rotted. So anything that transfers fluid from one body to another, that can be gnats, mosquitoes, biting flies, spiders down in the south, sharing a milkshake with somebody, kissing. It's in sexual fluids. It crosses mental barriers. It's in the blood bank. So there's a multitude of ways you can get it.
I didn't know that one. That one's good.
2 to 3% of the blood bank in Minnesota and Wisconsin has Lyme disease in it.
Oh, wow.
The diagnostic means for doing that, the lab tests, the best lab Lyme labs used to say their tests were 0 to 20% accurate. Now the best Lyme lab in the world just has on their website, our tests are not a diagnosis. So the test for Lyme disease for the strain that the CDC accepts, it's the B31 or the Burgdorferi strain of Borrelia that causes Lyme disease. Borrelia is almost never the cause of Lyme disease. We test for a whole bunch of strains. It's probably less than 5% of the people we find with Lyme disease have the strain that they test for, the Burgdorferi or the B31. So that's one of the issues. One of the biggest things with Lyme disease is something sets the stage for it to grow inside of somebody. And that stage beats the immune system up, so the immune system can't do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. The primary thing that sets that stage is candida infections.
Okay.
So that's what beats the immune system up. It rips the gut up. It is by far the number one predisposing factor, and it is the number one complication of Lyme disease. Lyme disease, when you dress it right, you can get rid of it in a couple of months. Most of the co-infections in that, but that doesn't happen with the medical route. When you look at the medical route using antibiotics, even Harvard admits that doxycycline, what they prescribe, will not kill the Lyme bacteria. It only hopes to slow its division down so it doesn't take over. The antibiotics drive it into biofilms. It hides in biofilms. Your immune system can't touch it in the biofilm. The antibiotic can't touch in the biofilm. And it can live in biofilms for 17 years. It waits till you get all stressed out, your immune system beat out, then it breaks out, has a happy party, and there you're overwhelmed all over again. So people talk about remission. Remission is a medical term for reducing Lyme disease, making so it's not symptomatic. But as soon as they get stressed out, they're going to get basically hit by a bus and feel like they're in the gutter again.
Right. You just said something about candida. Can you break that down in relevance to Lyme?
Okay. In all of our mucous membranes, from the nose, mouth, all the way down through the stomach and through the whole gut, there's a bacterial coating that does most of our digestion. It does a whole bunch of things. It communicates with the brain. Half your immune system is in the gut because it has to deal with all these things that are coming in. There's a balance of microbes, bacteria, viruses, yeast, parasites and all that, called the flora or the microbiota inside the gut. When there's a candida infection, the microbiome has been beat up, the healthy part of it, which keeps all the things in check. So the pathogens can grow, and one of the biggest pathogens that grows probably 80% of the time is candida. It's a It's a yeast infection that can morph into fungus. Fungal parasite is closely associated to mold. And those things just beat the immune system up. Mm-hmm. A lot of women know of yeast infections in their reproductive tract. The reproductive tract, the bacterial coating inside of that is almost identical to what's in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Grown and maintained slightly differently. But if somebody's having athlete's foot, ringworm, toe fungus, mm-hmm. yeast infections, things like that, they absolutely have a candida mm-hmm. problem. And that's typically what sets the stage for the immune system to be too beat up to be able to deal with incoming invasions. And then you look at Lyme disease, it never comes by itself. It always comes, it's kind of like, if you look at the Bible, when Jesus talks about when a man is possessed by a demon, the demon goes out, searches through waterless places, searching for rest, can't find any, comes back to its house, talking about the man, this clean, well-swept and put in order, and it goes out, finds demons that are worse than itself, and the second mm-hmm. state of the man is worse than the first. That's what Lyme disease is like. It lives with and cohabits with mm-hmm. all of these pathogens that are just evil and wicked.
Right.
That's probably the easiest way to describe it. They're just
evil. Yeah, that was really good. That's a really good analogy. I like that. That's really good. That made more sense than it made a lot of sense.
Good. It's good. Good. And what happens is, you know, say in a tick, mm-hmm. if there's a tick bite, and I just said there, that's not the only way this can happen, but David Buhner, he writes about what goes on inside of a tick. The tick, it gets a change in temperature as it's starting to take a blood meal, and a change in pH. As that happens, all these bacteria with Lyme disease and the co-infections that go with it, they assemble and they start to communicate. And they start mm-hmm. to make this game plan. They start to put on their armor. They read the proteins inside of the blood, and they coat themselves with our own proteins, the host proteins that they're going to go invade. So the immune system doesn't recognize them as foreign invaders, but it looks at them and says, oh, it's me. They're covered with the same protein that you're made of. And then they have this game plan, and they go out and some are on attack mode. Some are trying to go dive into different tissues to go hide and take up residence and multiply. And they create all these intricate defenses that go on back and forth. They only use a bloodstream for a highway. They don't grow in the bloodstream. They dive out of the bloodstream very quickly so they can go someplace away from the immune system mm-hmm. and grow. And do what their thing is. So that can be in joints, it can be in muscles, it can be in bone, it can be in the brain, it's going to be in the liver because the liver is going to filter things out. If Babesia is one of the biggest parasites linked with that. Babesia is a one-celled animal that lives inside your red blood cells and basically mm-hmm. eats the inside of your blood cells out, so it makes you anemic, where mm-hmm. you don't have the capacity to carry oxygen. It gives you malaria-like fevers, and very closely related to malaria and dengue fever also. But it gives you these really, really high fevers, and it depresses your ability to carry oxygen, which makes you feel like you're walking like under 10 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
You can't breathe very well. You have no energy, nothing to fight anything. That's one of the co-infections. Ehrlichia is another mm-hmm. one. It's a little round bacteria that goes and invades your immune cells, your white blood cells, and it knocks out your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called Rickettsia. It's a kind of a cylindrical shaped bacteria that goes and invades your epithelium. The epithelium our epithelium is things like our skin. It doesn't evade
Yeah.
that. It's the lining of your blood vessels and the lining of your gut. So when it invades the lining of your blood vessels, it makes the blood tumble as it goes down through your bloodstream. And it creates all these inflammatory issues there. And when it invades the lining of your gut, it makes your gut leak, makes it so you don't digest things right. It creates all of these things. The Babesia, the blood parasite, it tends to concentrate where blood gets squeezed through really tight places, which that's the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the spleen especially. And whenever the spleen is really weak, it's a huge flag that there's a Babesia infection. The, the lab tests for all these things are 0 to 20% accurate. So there's not a good way that any traditional route of healthcare, using a traditional route like lab tests, can come up with any definitive diagnosis. Because those lab tests are only had 0 to 20% accuracy if you took them the first 1 to 2 weeks of infection, which nobody knows are sick then. And after that, they have no relative accuracy whatsoever. Like one study they took, I think it was 172 patients that had Lyme disease, overtly obvious Lyme disease. They took three blood draws from each of those people. So they had 500, I think it was 516 blood draws. They carefully labeled them, not using their ID, but they code labels. And they sent those 516 lab samples off to the best Lyme labs in the world. Sometimes one lab got three tests. Sometimes three different labs got one sample. Of those 516 lab samples, no two results were the same. That's how accurate the tests are. They're just not accurate at all. And with even places like Harvard saying that the means of treatment doesn't address the problem, that's what everybody's running into. And as soon as you take the antibiotics, it kills all the good flora inside of your gut. So as you
know,
good flora, it also lining your gut. If you hold your fingers up in front of your face, all your fingers, those are what's called the microvilli in your gut. And it increases the surface area of your gut about 400 times. In between your fingers, the microvilli, they produce a mucus. And it fills the space in between the microvilli and over the top. That's where all your flora live.
Okay.
Anything that creates inflammation, which antibiotics do, it makes those microvilli, like your finger, they atrophy. And it's like you take your fingers and you roll them, so you're just looking at the knuckles on your fist. That's all that's left. No surface to make mucus. No place for the flora to hide. It all washes out in the toilet. And then the pathogens can grow unchecked. No check and balance. So you take one dose of some of the strong broad-spectrum antibiotics. It can destroy your flora, just one dose, and it won't recover ever. You take a long course.
Ever? You said ever?
You have to do specific things to heal it. If I didn't have a big background in gut health, how to deal with candida and resolve that, we could do nothing with Lyme disease. Could not touch it. And that's what gave me a lot of the tools we use to address it.
So how do you start to begin to deal with that? How do you start to deal with those things? You know, talk about that.
Okay. We do our own diagnostics. And years ago, the Lord was moving us out of where we used to live. People begged us to figure out a way to work with them with a distance. And I didn't have the belief system for it. I really didn't. So I was putting them off, but it made it, the Lord's making it very clear. He's moving us a long ways away. So I you know, I finally said, okay, I'll test this out. So I started testing people at farther and farther distance. And at the end of our testing, we tested people blindly, not knowing who they were, what they had. We did a pretty comprehensive evaluation, which my evaluations is hundreds of tests, hundreds, no matter what's going on with somebody, because you gotta know all the intricate functions of every organ system by itself, how it all those interact, what root problems are that cause that, how to resolve that. You gotta know food intolerances, and then you gotta know all these infective toxic issues and all that. So you got to start off with an accurate assessment of what's going on. And the only ones that have any tools to do that is the functional medicine doctors.
What is it called?
Functional medicine doctors.
Okay.
And they got to be old school, because the new school ones are doing everything by lab tests and all
the medications.
So they got to be old school for it to help anybody out at all. And we don't go after Lyme disease. We don't go after Candida. What we do is we figure out what root causes are, and we support the body to restore all of the metabolic functions, all these intricate interactive metabolic functions. Then we figure out the foods they can eat so they can heal. We figure out liquids they can drink so they can heal and restore life. And it's on top of that that we look and go, okay, what do we need to do to address the toxic loads? Like toxicity is always a problem. There's two major stages of detoxification. And I was at a business talk a while back where there are three other doctors there. Somebody asked me, what do you do with COVID? And I said, I'm about to release my book. We could talk about the book, or I could just do a Q&A. I got a pretty deep well where you could bounce anything off. And so one of the other docs asked, what do you do with COVID? And that opened up a conversation they were not ready for, blew them all away. And in explaining that, I said, okay, your immune system, or you've got four detoxification organs. What are they? And they had to guess to figure out one, which was the liver. That's one of four. It's the small intestinal wall is another one. The colon wall is another one. And the flora we just talked about, the microbiota biome coating of the gut and reproductive tract, ears, nose, throat, mouth, all of that, that is the fourth one. They do the detoxification in two phases, phase one and phase two. Phase one has five pathways. Phase two has six pathways. You gotta figure out which phase is working right, which phase isn't. You gotta figure out which stage in those phases is not working right, how to support those so you can increase your detoxification. Before you ever detox, I asked another group of clinicians that we were doing an interactive thing. I said, so what is the first thing you do for detox? Everybody had different ideas about things because they don't understand the mechanics of what's going on, and they're just grabbing at straws. And I said, the first thing you have to do is upregulate elimination. If you try and liberate toxins and you haven't liberated, you have an increased ability to excrete those in the toilet, you're going to make people sicker. So normal bowel habits should be 3 to 5 times a day, and that's not my idea. That's them looking at studies of people that don't have any incident of gastrointestinal disease. Africa is one of the biggest places where that happens. When people have a whole food tribal type of a diet with this big complex thing, every time they eat they have a bowel movement. So in the Western society, the worst case that I saw, a woman was going once every 5 to 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
People should know that's not healthy. You can't try and do any detox doing less than two bowel movements a day. And vegetables, fiber is the biggest factor to try and upregulate that. Mm. You increase your fluid intake, so you're urinating. Women need to urinate at least 8 times a day, men at least 5. That's the first thing you do. Then you got to figure out what's going on with the detox pathways, support those. Then you can start to use different products to deal with the infective issues, to start to bring those out. This combination of antimicrobials, good flora. Most of the antimicrobials aren't very good. The 75% of the fish oil in the market's rancid before you buy it. As far as the microbiome, it's worse than that. We've tested probably hundreds of different flora products. I know 4 that actually can work. That's all.
So what I need to ask you now is that we talked about a myriad of things, and it's some of it's complex to me and some is not, you know, and I get what you're saying. Simplify this. What can, you know, if I go out and buy this book, simplify who needs to buy this book, simplify what we're looking at, you know, or what you suggest people to do. Simplify that. You just to say, hey, you know, you need to go get this book and you need to read this book. But more than that, you need whatever. Simplify that for my audience, because they need to know, you know, you're talking a lot of terms that they might not be familiar with. And, you know, in our community alone, very, you know, we speak in our own terms that we think everybody knows, but maybe we don't. And I want the audience to really get this, because I know it's important, but I want them to get it and I want it simplified. If you could do that for us, that'd be like marvelous.
Okay. Simply, the reason why I need the book is the reason why I wrote it. People need answers. They need to know what's going on. I've had mothers bring their daughters in to say, you need to teach them about contraception. I am amazed how few women know how their bodies work, what their psyche drives their cycles. We describe that. We go through every major physiological process in the body, all the major organ processes, the hormonal dysregulation, autoimmune issues, detox issues, gut issues, food intolerance, respiratory issues, cardiovascular issues. Mm-hmm. It covers everything, because Lyme disease is, first of all, it's a great imitator. It imitates everything out there. Mm-hmm. All the people with dementia, Lyme disease is the biggest suspicion that there is. And it can affect every single organ system in the body. So that this book isn't just about Lyme disease. That's why the second half of the title and chronic illness, everything that goes on, infertility is in there. The disruption of intimacy from chronic illness, even menopause, that's in there. Everything that people need to know about how things are working is in there. Yeah. And there's practical steps in there on what people really need to do to try and gain some control of their health.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, control of their lives. Yeah. We want you to have, audience, we want you to have control of your lives. And I think I know that this book will start you on that path, because I had to take it chapter by chapter and I was like, oh, this makes sense. And I had to stop and I was like, okay, I couldn't eat the whole elephant. I had to eat piece by piece. But this really it solidified some things for me that I already knew, didn't know it scientifically, but it solidified some things for me. Who did you first give this book to? Like, you know, how did you get it out there? I know that, you know, I want to talk about like getting it out there. How did you get it out there to the public?
Okay, that's a really good question. I'm going to springboard off of what you just said so that people aren't afraid of the book. it's written in a common language. I don't
yeah,
talk in this high fluted language that people have a hard time
it
understanding.
is.
And
Right.
every chapter ends with a story of somebody who struggled with that aspect of organ dysfunction, physiological problems, hormone
right.
dysregulation, whatever, with a story of what caused all that and how they overcame that. And only
right.
so there's a lot of practical things in there, and it really brings it home as far as that goes. Is written, the information there could be used in any graduate doctorate program, but its language is made so that people like you can understand it. It's not written above anybody's head. So
right.
that's huge.
That's good.
You ask, how did I get it out there? This book
yeah.
has been canceled by Amazon twice. And it's really too much. I was contacted by a self-publishing school, went through that trying to avoid all the problems that I had the first time I did it. I doubled the size of the book, wrote half that book in a long weekend, blew everybody away in there. And because there's almost 200 references in that book.
It's a
little over 300 pages. It's highly referenced. It's not my opinions. And I could have doubled that reference. I just got tired of writing them. I just got tired of writing all the stuff. But anyway, I learned something in that process. The original title was Breaking the Chronic Nightmare of Lyme Disease. And the political overlords with the political correctness, and I'm not a political correct person. I don't speak out of disrespect, but I speak out of old world language. And people understand that, and I don't offend people with doing that because they know I'm not pretentious. That I'm just speaking old world language and inclusive of things. So you can't address right now because of the watchdogs in all the arenas. You can't address health issues head on with any way whatsoever. Yeah. We designed a title that was mirrored after some other books that have been done and been fairly successful, and Amazon just canceled it. Absolutely would not allow it to be promoted whatsoever. I did all kinds of stuff. And the formatting was really a nightmare. That was done overseas, and it was really kind of a mess. And the goal was to have that book. I finished it just before May. May is Lyme Awareness Month, and we were trying to launch it during that month. My editor finished editing it in like 7 days, and then went off the formatter. That took them 4 months to get it out. So that ruined that. And you gotta ask these questions about, okay, who's going to format? How long are they going to take? How is communication going to be like? What can you do with your editor? What's that? What will Amazon, who is the biggest self-publishing platform that's out there, what will they accept? That's changed.
Right.
I was led down the wrong road, and it didn't work. So I hired some other people. I came up with all the graphics for the cover the way that it is, changed everything else, redid it, and now they actually allow me to promote it some. So that's how it gets out there. You can find the book on my website. It's healthfully.com, healthfully, the letter U.com. It's in a sidebar. There's also a tab, Lyme book. You can find it there. But if you're dealing with autoimmune issues, it's a book for you. If you're dealing with hormonal issues, it's a book for you. It's
the book.
Addresses more things functionally than anything I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you being here and sharing this part with our audience. Audience, if you have any questions, anything at all, make sure you post them below the video and I'll get them right over to Dr. Brad, and he can answer your questions, or you can go on his website, which he just talked to you about. You can go in there and leave the questions. Is there anything else that you could say to our audience before we leave and give them, I don't know, just give them some encouragement and empower them, to move forward in their lives on purpose?
Okay, one of the biggest things is affirmation is, and that's a huge part of what we do. It's not all in your head. There's a cause for what's going on inside. And just because the clinicians you're working with don't know what that is, doesn't mean you're stuck with that forever. We have over four times the resolution back to full health than almost any clinician could ever hope to offer. Most people will say we work with Lyme disease. We restore people back to full health and give them their life back at over four times what most could offer to even help. So, in affirming that one, there's a cause, and two, there is a route to restore your health and have your life back. That's what a lot of people say who work with us
That's
is
great.
he gave me my
That's
life back.
wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, Dr. Brad, thank you for sharing, exposing Lyme and chronic illness, revealing secrets of all chronic illness that keeps you sick. And we appreciate you coming and sharing this with our audience. And we hope that you walk out today, guys, and go it, or you go online and you buy this book by Dr. Brad. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest, Dr. Brad, saying goodbye for now. And we hope to see you real soon.